Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's our midweek edition. It is Wednesday, the second day of October 2013, day two of the government shutdown as the blame game continues. Come on, folks. Back in Washington, enough. We've had it. That's it. Okay, both sides have made your points. Let's get the government up and running again so the lives of real people will not continue to be hurt. The Buckmaster Show live each weekday from noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We stream the show live at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and you can hear the program anywhere, anytime by visiting buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. All carry the Buckmaster Show podcast. Also, links to the program on the homepages of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun at gvnews.com and the homepage of Blog for Arizona, blogforarizona.com. We'll get things underway with a newsmaker interview with Tucson City Councilman Steve Kosicek, Ward 6 Democrat, who is running unopposed for another four-year term. 12:30, Hank Amos joins us. Hank is CEO and president of Tucson Realty and Trust. We'll be talking about the MDA moving their headquarters out of Tucson back to Chicago. Then we'll close out the show, Beth Gorman from Pima County Department of Environmental Quality, talking about how the change of seasons impacts our air quality. If you have a question or comment for Steve Kay, call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. We also invite you to become a member, a friend, I should say, of the Buckmaster Show. We're easy to find on Facebook. It's Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. Steve Kosicek, how are you today?
Doing pretty well. Can I quickly start off? I just want to, with a quick note.
Yes.
I want to offer my best to both Sharon and Kelly Bronson. They lost their husband and father, Otis, over the weekend, and it's been a long struggle for them as a family. And Otis Bronson was instrumental in foundation and teaching it out at Pima College, and he's been just a well-known advocate in lots of things, both ecological and educational, throughout the community. So I know it's been a tough road for the family, and I just wanted to wish my best to them.
Well, thank you for doing that, and certainly our condolences also to the family and Sharon Bronson. I know, as you point out, it has been a rather rough road to hoe over the past many months.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about this government shutdown, day number two. What is the impact on the city of Tucson? Is there an impact?
Oh, sure there will be. Mm-hmm. They're both directly and indirectly. The direct impacts will be on our ability to provide, for instance, housing vouchers for some of our federally subsidized homes for the low income and the needy. Those are going to be tough. We already have a waiting list. And we've got people, because of the reductions that we've already incurred through the last budget cycle, there are something like 400 families that we were unable to serve as a result of the first go-around. So this is just going to exacerbate an already bad situation for some of the neediest people in our community. A greater concern, not a greater, but another concern of mine is simply the collateral damage that, as we have civilian employees from Davis-Monthan out of work and other federal employees scattered throughout the city, that's going to reduce their discretionary income. And the result of that will be felt by a lot of the small businesses around town that are already struggling to pull themselves out of the economic downturn. So while we have people watching their pennies more closely because they're not sure when they're going back to work, they will be spending less, and kind of the domino effect into the broader local economy is going to be felt. And so, yeah, it'll have both those direct and indirect impacts.
And then have people thought about the civilians who work, like at Raytheon, who work very closely with all the government contractors? This
right.
is going to have an impact. For those who say that this thing is not touching a lot of families, they're crazy.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to touch thousands and thousands locally, and it'll touch millions nationally. Because, as you say, this is not just federal employees. federal contractors, federal subcontractors, and then, as I mentioned, the people who will have just fewer dollars to spend, and the uncertainty of when they're going to have those dollars to spend. It'll have an effect throughout the economy, locally, nationwide.
And the University of Arizona. Think about the contracts that are dealt there with the government. So you're talking about kind of our three-legged stool here of the economy, Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, Raytheon, and the University of Arizona, all going to be impacted by this federal shutdown.
Right, absolutely. And I think that, I mean, I obviously don't have my hand on the pulse of everybody, but people that I speak to, and frankly, my own opinion is that this was unnecessary. The Affordable Care Act is settled law. They should have found a way to just let that go through, as the court and as the voters and as the President and Congress have said, let's do it and keep the economy rolling. I think it was irresponsible, and I'm sorry that they didn't have the sense of right and wrong to keep the economy moving. And this is going to have a huge impact on people's lives.
And, of course, Congress people are being paid, and I do applaud Congressman Ron Barber joining with 24 Congress people who are not accepting money during this period. They are not accepting their pay. They are giving it, in Mr. Barber's case, to local charities. I think that all members of Congress should not be getting any money during this period.
Well, I think that they polled the people that they just put out of work. I think they'd probably find a pretty unanimous sense of an agreement with you. So, yeah.
All right. Your own political future right now, there's no write-in candidate. Is that what I understand, Steve, in your particular race?
Yeah. The filing deadline passed, and as a result, I'm going to be running unopposed in November. I hope that means that people are satisfied with the work that I and my staff have been doing for the last 4 years, and we're going to keep doing the same. So, yeah, I'm pleased to be able to run unopposed, but it's something that if people are investing that level of trust and confidence in what I and my staff have been doing, it just kind of sends the message that keep doing what you're doing and don't let your foot off the gas pedal. It gives us a sense of responsibility to keep on keeping on, and we're going to keep doing that at the Ward 6 office.
All right. If anyone would like to speak with Steve right now, 790-2040, our Buckmaster Show live line. He would be happy to entertain your questions or comments about anything to do with city business. And one of the items on city business that has come up is what to do with the downtown transit center. Councilman and Councilman Paul Cunningham voted no actually a week or so ago, concerning the future to transform that Ronsted Transit Center downtown into a mixed-use transit hub. What is the best use for that?
Well, we voted no for two different reasons, and so the Star article was a little bit misleading. Let me kind of give you a real quick summary. What we have, for the last 6 or 8 months, we have been going through a very, very extensive public process in going out, and there were public meetings held at the Rialto and all over the community for people to weigh in with their senses to answer your question, what's the ultimate use that Ronstadt should be put to. And we heard everything from do absolutely nothing to it to knock it all down and build a 10-story high-rise there, and everything in between, mixed use, retail, open space, housing, and all of the above. So what we did a couple of Tuesdays ago was we took a vote to begin the process for what's called a request for qualifications, an RFQ. What that is simply saying, putting feelers out into not only the community but nationally, saying if you feel as a developer you have the qualifications to come in and build a mixed-use multimodal transit center, and you've done that in the past, send us your resume. Show us what you've done. Paul voted no. I think I fairly characterize his vote for him. He voted no because he was concerned that we would tie so many restrictions on to the eventual development that everybody'd walk away from it and we'd be spending money unwisely on this whole RFQ process. I voted no because the rest of the council wanted to push back the issuance date for the RFQ until after the first of the year. my position is that the longer we delay even asking for the RFQ, we send the wrong message to the business community saying that we're not serious about this. We don't have to do this in a linear fashion. We can keep gathering information while we send out the RFQ. And so I said, no, I don't want to delay the process. Let's get them out there. Let's get the request for qualifications out there now. Start the process along. So we voted for different reasons. I will tell you this, though, Bill, if at the end of the RFQ process, when we shortlist the proposers, say we get three or four at the shortlist who have done multimodal transit centers in other jurisdictions, and the council starts to put restrictions and requirements on what's going to be developed, I'll join Paul in the no vote. If we start to restrict and start to try and develop this thing on the fly from the table, I'll say no. What we have to do is hand them, whoever the shortlist is, this list of hundreds and hundreds of comments from the general public, from downtown merchants, from the Downtown Tucson Partnership, from bus riders, from everybody we've gotten from. Hand that packet to the shortlisted group and say, here's what the community says. Now, you bring us back a proposal. I think it needs to be that wide open, and then we will reserve the right to negotiate with them and kind of get what the best right. and highest use is. But I don't want to tie a bunch of restrictions on it, or Paul will be right, and that nobody's going to want to get involved.
12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasacek is with us. Let's go to Dan on the Buckmaster Show. Dan, you're with the councilman.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on Mr. Kasacek's point about running unopposed. I think that he's running unopposed probably because so many people are fed up with politicians, because everything is left versus right, Republicans versus Democrats, good versus bad, never true discussions about the issues. And people have gotten to where, why bother? Mm-hmm. Why bother to get involved? Why bother to run for office? Okay. Why bother to vote? It's just, politics and politicians have ruined this country.
Okay, Dan, let's hear what Steve has to say about your comment.
Well, based on the first subject that we talked about, and that is the government shutdown, Dan has every right to be cynical about the political process. At some level, I would join him in that. I would note, though, that the other two races are contested races, and so if he was right from the standpoint of everybody's sick of everything, then both the Wards 3 and 5 races would be unopposed, too, so I'm not sure I'd take the point totally. I would prefer to focus on the fact that I think Republicans, Democrats, and Independents all looked at the work that I've done for the last 4 years, and my staff too. Nothing happens in a vacuum, and say, you know what, we think that the guy's doing a fairly decent job, and you know that. But Dan has, at some level, he's got a point that people are tired of the hyper partisanship. And let me give you a quick story. We all lost a close friend a couple of months ago, Dave Sitton. I've known Dave for 25 years. After I had come out and supported Ron Barber and done the party change thing, I needed to talk to Dave about something completely unrelated to politics. And so I texted him a message, and I said, Dave, are you still taking my calls? And he immediately texted me back and said, why wouldn't I? You know, that's the kind of ability to work with people across political aisles that I think Dan is calling for, and I think the general public would love to see that.
Okay, Steve Kasacek is with us on the Buckmaster Show, and let me put a quick program note about two debates that we have coming up on the Buckmaster Show. Fimbres Pollock on Thursday, October the 10th, and then we have the Ulick, Ben Bueller Garcia, Karen Ulick, and Ben Bueller Garcia on October 14th here on the Buckmaster Show. Councilman, stick around. We're going to take a break and hear from the folks who support this program. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Thank you. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition. Tucson City Councilman Steve Kosacek is with us. How many different ways do people pronounce your name, Steve?
Well, a bunch. You've gotten three or four in this 15 minutes.
So. I know, as Rose has pointed that out to me, that I am all over the block today with your name. Usually say Kosacek.
That's right, but you can't miss when it's just Steve K.
Steve K. Okay, probably Steve K the rest of the way. What's this small business assistance line that's up and running? You want to put a plug in for that?
Yeah, it's a good deal. We have actually the function existed over in the mayor's office since he was elected, and just because the people who are staffing it on his side of the 10th floor were getting busy with a lot of the chasing down prospects, we just felt it was going to be more efficient to operate it on the city manager side. And so it was really kind of a shift of function. Hopeful now that people will be able to get a human being who will chase down issues for them, point them in the right direction in terms of city departments to talk to, and also if they're prospects, and put them directly in touch with Chris Castellemas, who is our economic development coordinator on the manager's side. So, you know, it's kind of a shift across the hall, but it kind of moved it from one person who was kind of backed up in terms of job responsibilities to somebody who had a little more time to really give the attention that function deserves to the people who are calling. So it's a good deal.
Steve Kosacek is with us, Tucson City Councilman. And if you have a question, 790-2040, Steve would be happy to hear from you. In a few minutes, Steve, we're going to be talking with Hank Amos of Tucson Realty and Trust, and we're going to talk a little bit about the decision by MDA to move the headquarters to Chicago. What was your first impression when you heard that news?
Well, we have to read beyond the headline because they're still going to have a pretty significant presence in Tucson. So it's not as though they're going to be moving out completely, and they're going to still have a significant number of employees here. So it's, you know, I understand it's consolidation, and it's an efficiencies move, and so it's kind of the bad news is that the corporate logo is moving, but the function is still going to stay here. And we have a great working relationship community-wide with them and many of the other major nonprofits that are here in town, and they serve an excellent function to the greater community. I'm glad they're still going to be here at some level.
How is the streetcar doing right now?
Well, they're in testing. And we've gotten one car here, and they're energizing the lines. I will tell you that Oregon Iron Works in my world needs to ramp up their production schedule, because we have had tens of millions of dollars in private sector development invested along that streetcar corridor on the promise that we're going to have fixed route rail system running from the university down to the west side. Oregon Iron Works now has turned into a significant bottleneck, and they need to, as we and I have spoken before, we have already advised them we're going to be assessing liquidated damages, which are the penalties in the contract. There is no sense in assessing those now, because two reasons. Number one is we don't want to make them cash-strapped and put them even further behind the eight ball. But number two, we don't know the extent of the penalties until after the project is completed. I'm kind of tired of waiting on these guys to figure out how to build these things. We are locked into the Buy America thing that was a part of our receiving the Tiger Grant, but we have project team members going up there on a regular basis, up there to Oregon on a regular basis right now, leaning on them, saying get these things into production, because once they show up in Tucson, they're not just going to start carrying revenue passengers. They go through an extensive training program on the tracks, and we've only got one going through it right now, and we'll have eight cars. All eight of them have to successfully complete that training, the testing on the tracks, before we can start running revenue. So it's not as though we can run these things one or two at a time as they show up. So there's still a lot of work to do, and I'm way beyond being patient with these guys.
Downtown looking better to you these days? Still have some major issues to resolve concerning TCC and a hotel.
Well, we have about $8 million going into the TCC right now that is Rio Nuevo money. We have a very good working relationship with the current Rio Nuevo board. If you saw the recent memo that came out from city manager's office, it highlighted over 30 new restaurants, over 20 new retail shops, arts and culture and health and wellness centers and high-tech businesses and incubators, and not even to mention the nightclubs that are going in. So there is a lot of activity going on down there in the strictly private sector, over $200 million in the last few years. That is another reason that we've got to get these streetcars up and running. So there's a lot of activity. And it is all, or much of it, based on the assumption that we're going to have passengers riding that thing through the downtown core. That's another reason that the Ronstadt Transit Center remodel is so important as well, because to the extent that we're going to have a streetcar going down through the middle of Congress, we have to also make sure that we're not just jamming the streets up with buses that might have to take a different route, whether it's out Tool or whatever. We have a comprehensive operational analysis that we're putting together also that'll be a part of the Ronstadt development. That'll show what routes come into downtown, whether they're transfer or drop-offs. So we're going to have a full package for those developers. But back to your question about downtown, there's a ton going on, and that's even more reason that Oregon Iron Works needs to get off the dime and get those cars here to us.
We had the city, Daryl Cole, the city transportation guy. I think he is known as Mr. Pavement or Mr. Asphalt. He was very accommodating to our listeners and said that if somebody has a pothole issue, he will address it. He doesn't know whether he can fill it, but they are, they do try. I got the feeling this guy really is trying to put customer service first, I'll tell you.
Daryl's a good guy. He runs a quality department, and as with all of the other departments in the city right now, he is cash strapped, and that's one of the reasons it was so important for the road bond proposition to have passed last year. Starting on July 1st, a couple of months ago, we started spending the first $100 million. 85% of that's going to go into arterials and major roadways, and 15% is going into the residential areas. And just as recently as last night, I had a lady talking to me about a particular bike route through the Midtown area, and my answer to her was that there is a citizens task force right now that Daryl is working with, and they are going through a really rigorous assessment of all the residential areas, and they're going to triage them, and they're going to say, what are the worst? And not only what are the worst, but how can we get the most bang for our buck? If we go in and pick the very, very worst areas and fix them first, we're not going to get as many linear miles as we can if we say, well, maybe we can do a less intensive treatment and cover more linear miles around the city. So that assessment's going on around the first of the year. They're going to start rolling out those residential dollars once they go through that triage process. But the arterials are already identified. They were identified in the proposition that people voted on.
Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasacek, thank you very much for being with us. Sorry if I mispronounced your name and didn't keep it uniform. You need to get out now and do your daily run.
Oh, I did that early this morning. It was nice out today.
Do people honk at you? I see you all over Midtown.
I get honks, I get waves, and I get all of the above and some other things, too, that I can't say on the air.
Steve, have a great day, and thanks a lot for being with us.
You too, Bill. Thanks.
Thanks.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. His spokesman says President Obama is not backing down from his refusal to negotiate changes in the health care law in return for reopening the government. Mr. Obama has called Democrat and Republican congressional leaders to the White House later today for talks. A judge in Florida has set bail at $1 million for a man accused of telling security screeners at the Jacksonville airport he had a bomb in his backpack. The threat prompted evacuation of the airport, and authorities found no explosives. Prosecutors indicate more serious charges could be filed against a motorcyclist who authorities say began a tense encounter between the driver of an SUV and a throng of bikers in New York City over the weekend. It ended up with the driver of the SUV being beaten by the motorcyclists. On Wall Street, stocks down. The Dow is off 83. More details at srnnews.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You, too, can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. In my 25 years in Tucson, I have had only one dentist, Dr. Lisa Fogel. This highly skilled dental professional has a caring, friendly, can-do attitude that makes Dr. Fogel the choice of the Buckmaster family. Dr. Fogel's lovely state-of-the-art dental office is conveniently located on North Swan, just south of Speedway. For an appointment, call 881-1856 or visit lisafogeldentalessentials.com.
Chance plays a big part in today's world. There's a 5% chance you were born with an extra rib, a 12% chance we'll have a solar megastorm in the next decade, and a 20% chance that if you got in a road accident in Sweden, it was caused by an elk. Well, Cox Business understands that chance has no place in running a small business. Get business internet and phone for just $99 a month and enjoy the 100% certainty that comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's right. You get 100% certainty with phone features like on-the-go voice manager and internet speeds faster than basic DSL. Plus, 100% confidence with service that's been honored with the J.D. Power Award for highest in customer satisfaction with small mid-sized business wireline service. Make the switch today and get some certainty in an otherwise uncertain world. There's now a 99% chance this commercial is over, except for the legal.
Offer ends 12/31/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Must be claimed within 30 days of service activation. Other conditions apply. For J.D. Power Award information, go to jdpower.com.
Well, 34 on the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. The Muscular Dystrophy Association recently announced plans to move early next year its national offices on Sunrise Drive in Tucson. After calling the area home for nearly 22 years, the organization plans to sell its Tucson office building and relocate its national office to the Chicago area. The majority of the nonprofit research organization's 110 Tucson-based employees will continue to work in Tucson at a leased office space. Joining us is Hank Amos, chairman and, well, actually, your official title, Hank, is CEO and president of Tucson Realty and Trust, right?
I'll take either one of them.
We'll throw chairman in too, add chairman to. Hank, good to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you.
Hey, what'd you think when you heard this news about MDA? That's quite a facility up there on Sunrise.
You know, it's a beautiful facility. It's a Class A facility, and, you know, eventually we'll probably find somebody to fulfill that. But I can understand why MDA made the move. When you think about their donors and where they're from, And to have access to that, our pool is just not as big here as it is like in Chicago or New York. And so they need to go where the money is, and it wasn't it, it's just not here for them. So I can understand the move.
This is an 82,942-square-foot office facility, and it's got I guess it's on 7 acres. Originally, from what I understand, that was donated land from the county. Is that what you
That's
understood?
My understanding, yes.
Yeah, but are they talking about leasing it, or what kind of a price would you put on a building like that?
Well, we're not involved in the transaction, but obviously
– So it's an exclusive with another company?
It's an exclusive with another company, yes.
Okay. And, but you know this market.
Right. So I heard the building probably is for lease. And they'll probably either sell it or lease it, and the good news is that that facility is in, you know, a great location, and it's a beautiful facility. It's well maintained. Somebody's going to want to be there, and for a firm that wants to come to Tucson or come to Arizona and is looking for a Class A facility like that, there's not a lot of facilities like that. We'll eventually get that sold or leased, and it may take a while, but we'll eventually get it done.
And we have talked. We try to have you on the program at least every 6 months or so, because you put out, of course, kind of an update on industrial space and office space. Do we have – this will really add, though, won't it, to the inventory of industrial space?
Well, so let's make it the clear distinction. Okay. We have industrial space.
Is this
space,
office or industrial?
This is office.
Oh, this is office.
So industrial space, you know, when you talk about – we have 11 facilities that are over 100,000 square feet, which is good because in Arizona, there's just not a lot of 100,000 square foot facilities. And this office building there's space available, especially in the Phoenix market. There's really nothing like it in the Tucson market. So just because of its location and its size, there's going to be some attraction there for that. But it's very difficult to get firms to move to Tucson. So, you know, that's going to be the challenge.
And that's what we hate to see them leave for whatever reason, leave as far. Of course, they're still keeping a presence here with most of their employees. But we have so few, Hank Amos, corporate companies here in Tucson. You've got Unisource of you know, TEP. You can't think of many, you know, corporate headquarters here.
Unfortunately, you know, we turned the corner there. You know, in the 80s, we were one of those cities depending upon which publication you were looking at. We were top 10 to locate your company here, or for growth, or for business friendly, or whatever. And we were on a roll that we attracted some good companies. But then our politics changed a little bit, and we went to a no growth kind of feel. We chased Motorola out of town. We chased Intel out of town. IBM wanted to bring another whole division over mm-hmm. here. And mm-hmm. had we had those, we'd be looking like Austin. And unfortunately, now we have this stigma of not being business friendly. We've had the issues with the mine. We're suing, the county's suing one of our biggest employers over taxes. And it's just
Raytheon, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, so we just get that. That's the message that we're sending out. And you talk to the site selectors.
And that's what I want to hear from you. What are the site selectors? You deal with businesses all the time. What is the feeling about Tucson, Arizona right now? Give me your honest shot here.
So first of all, I want to say I think there are individuals that are trying really hard. And we do have some things that are positive. Alan Levine's working on the rail, and that's
yeah,
really
that looking, port of
we have the I-11. They're working on that. Downtown's on fire right now, and so we have some things that are working. I think Jonathan is trying really, really hard to get things done. But unfortunately, the messages that we're sending, whether it's the F-35 or whatever it is, they're just negative messages. So you talk to the site selectors, we're not on the radar screen anymore. We were in the 80s. We're not anymore because it's that the perception is it's difficult to do business in Tucson. Tucson's not business friendly, and we don't have the incentives like some of the other states have to attract folks. And so you put it all together, and we're just not getting it. Now, we have Miraval and Canyon Ranch, mm-hmm. and the executives come out here and they like what they see. And so you have some of that. You have the U of A. You have Raytheon. And so you have companies that work with these and the biotech, and we're working on some things, but we definitely have some battles ahead of us. I think the city of Tucson's working real hard. We're working with a developer that's going to build a 100,000 square foot building. I met with the city of Tucson, and the mayor was there. He had his A team there, and they're on it. What can I do to get things done?
So that's a different,
totally
attitude, right?
Different. And my hat's off. So it was. I'm dealing with a Phoenix developer, and quite frankly, they were shocked about how good things are there. So we're working on it, but we have deep, deep perceptions that are going to be pretty hard to erase.
And some of these perceptions, Hank Amos, go back to the 60s and this feeling of no growth in this community.
Yeah, I would, yeah.
Right?
Well, I don't know about basically to the 60s, but definitely to the 80s there. when Lou Murphy was there, things were going pretty good. And then we had a change in leadership, and the things just kind of went down the wrong street.
12:41 on the Buckmaster Show. We are speaking with the president and CEO of Tucson Realty and Trust, one of the brands that has been in Arizona since before territorial days.
That's
Did
right.
I get that accurate? Let's go to Matthew now. He is on our Buckmaster Show live line. Caller Matthew has a question for Hank Amos. Go ahead, Matthew.
Hey, Hank. First of all, I want to express my disappointment that we are losing the MDA, the corporate headquarters. And don't forget Sarco's corporate headquarters here, too. The question I have is, I want to call to task the issue of, I always hear that, Tucson is anti-business. But take it in relation to, the issue with the recent. Are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, the Bourne development. Originally the city and the county, they offered that developer that for a very $100 or whatever it was. They trusted, that he would follow through on his development, and he's been sitting on that line. So I mean, when they work with developers and they actually give them a chance and they give them an unbelievable deal, they're criticized, and because they have they're using public lands. But when they hold to task on, say, Rosemont, which is a very complicated issue, they look anti-business. I mean, in some ways, it is a difficult situation. But could you comment on the recent Rio Nuevo's opportunity with renegotiating the Bourne development in downtown. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Matthew.
Sure. I think that's a fair question, and I know Don Bourne, and he's a quality guy. I can state that he's a quality guy. I think a lot of developers kind of ran into a little bit of trouble when the economy turned around, and so when those plans were made and those deals were made, the economy was a little bit different than it is today. I applaud the city in trying to make something happen downtown, and Don Bourne is a guy that, you know, I would invest my money with, and unfortunately it just didn't work, and some things work and some things don't work.
And Don has had success in this town.
He's had success, and he is a great guy. But downtown is on fire right now, and you know, for those who haven't been down there lately, just it changes almost monthly, and so I think the city's trying to do certain things, but when you get opportunities to land Motorola and others, and you tell them, you know, we don't want you, that's what hurts. And maybe Rosemont has some issues, but hey, look, they have the right to do what they want to do. You're not going to stop them. It's done. And to put up the fight when you're going to lose the fight anyway, it's ridiculous. And it's jobs for this community. That's what people need. You know, copper and mining is what Arizona does, and they have gone out of their way to say, hey, look, we're going to do it, you know, and be environmentally friendly as much as we can, and it's just another message that's going out there, whether it's that message or the F-35 or the string of other companies that we've chased out.
Perceptions have a way of kind of becoming reality for
they
lot
just
of
build
people.
On each other.
Hank Amos, always good to see you. Hank, a former head of the Arizona Board of Regents. And when are you announcing that you're running for Congress?
I don't know if I want to run for Congress.
In the middle of this firestorm going on back there, maybe this might not
Don't get me started on that.
I won't. What's for another time. Hank, good to see you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient, it can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Under the glowing glass of brilliant light, experience UA Biosphere 2 Discovery Nights. For the first time ever, premiering the wonders of Biosphere 2 at night with extended hours. Beginning Saturday, September 28th, join us for five straight Saturday nights for an exciting family adventure with activities that promote curiosity and creativity. Receive a free annual pass with nighttime adult admission. Kids 12 and under are free. Limit 2 per adult. Visit b2science.org for more event details.
Pushing on toward 10 minutes to 1 on this Wednesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We are here live Monday through Friday, 12.04 to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. What a great weekend this would be to head over to Silver City. Lots going on, including the Mimbrace Valley Harvest Festival and the Pinos Altos Fiesta. Break out the pumpkins. Lots going on both of those events over in Silver City. Only three and a half hours east of Tucson. Quite a bit cooler, and I might say this time of year, a lot greener. They've had some really good rain in Silver City. Lots of great places to stay, including Pinos Altos Cabins, Lake Roberts Motel, and Ridge Park RV Park. You can find out more about all of this and the activities and places to stay on their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now Beth Gorman to the Buckmaster Show on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. Beth, a spokesperson with the Pima County Department of Environmental Quality. Beth, how are you?
I'm doing really well. How are you doing, Bill?
I'm doing real well. Your official title, I guess, is Program Manager. Is that right?
Yes. Senior Program Manager. I'm getting old.
Oh, no. Lots going on, Beth. First of all, why don't we begin? It is the change of season. How did we fare during the summer season with our air quality here?
We actually did really well. And there were a few days where we got close to exceeding the health standards for a couple of different particulates, for the particulate matter, and then also for ground-level ozone. So there was a couple of days there over the summer where we did have some high readings, but fortunately, when we averaged them all together with the other days, we did all right, and we didn't exceed any of those standards. And these standards are the standards that you don't want to exceed. Sometimes we want to exceed standards because we want to do really well. Well, when you exceed the health standards for pollution, you cause lots of problems with people who are really sensitive to that. And I know a lot of us don't think about the air, and we only think about it when we can see it, but it's just so critical that we try to maintain the good air quality that we do have. So we did fairly well. A couple days where, you know, we had a few high readings, but nothing to put us into trouble over the summer. So that's really good news.
And the rainy season has a lot to do on with the air quality, of course. In some parts of town here in the Tucson Valley, we really didn't get that much rain, and that means it didn't have as many opportunities, Beth Gorman, to settle the dust, correct?
Oh, that's right. And you know, and unfortunately, as we're looking into this continuing drought, there may be more and more days where we're going to have issues, because once that, when we've got the dry soil and we've got some winds that come up, there's dust all over, as you know, especially areas where the land's been disturbed through construction, through mining, just even vacant lots that just aren't covered with gravel or vegetation, we're going to be seeing some issues with particulate matter, with dust kicked up by the wind. So it could be something that we're going to see more and more of in the future. But hopefully the rains will come back and our air quality will be all right.
I want to talk a little bit about the fall season. It's the weather becomes so conducive to things like bike riding, not that folks don't try to do it in the summertime, but walking and reconsidering the use, I guess, of the fireplace for ambience. And up in Phoenix, I believe they restrict, don't they, folks burning in the fireplace, putting having a fire?
Right. Well, they have what they call no-burn days.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're fortunate down here, again, because we are attaining all of those health standards that the EPA has set with our air quality. So we don't have restrictive days like that where we have to tell people not to light their fires. Phoenix definitely has air quality problems, and they do that as a way to prevent going into or exceeding those health standards. So we don't have that down here, but what we'd like to suggest to people is when it does start getting cooler, and, you know, it's getting cooler now, but I'm not sure I'm ready to light up a fire at this point. But
yeah, I haven't called yet for a cord of wood to be delivered yet. Not quite yet.
Right. But, I mean, the time will come where it's cool. And what we ask people is just to you know, think about it. And do you really need to light that fire? And perhaps you could put some candles in the fireplace that would give you that lovely flickering of flames. But of course, if it's your sole source of heat, then we certainly understand that that's something you need to do. But we that's just one of the things that we talk to people about, ways that they could possibly reduce air pollution in our community. You know, and as you mentioned, this time of year, getting more comfortable where, as far as temperature-wise, where people may want to get out there and ride their bikes. Maybe they could arrange a carpool, walk a little bit on short trips. I mean, things like that really will help, because our air quality is just so important for everyone in our community to try to keep the air healthy for all of us to breathe.
Beth Gorman is with us from the Pima County Department of Environmental Quality. Walk to School Day is coming up, speaking of walking, and that's coming up in October.
Exactly. That's just one more way, you know, again, that we can try to skip a couple of trips here and there. And if there's a day or two or three or, you know, all 5 days that we could possibly not drive our cars during that morning trip to take the kids to school and instead decide to walk, leave a little bit extra time, walk to school. It reduces those vehicle trips. It gets exercise and it instills really good healthy habits early in a child's life, understanding that it's important to keep moving, to be active so that we can reduce those obesity rates that we're seeing. And, you know, and hopefully the kids will get used to walking and they'll enjoy it or riding their bikes. And then what we do is if we skip those trips, we reduce the amount of air pollution, obviously, that goes into our air. But we also reduce that terrible traffic congestion that occurs around schools where the air pollution gets concentrated at really high levels. And, of course, if our kids have asthma or are really sensitive, then it's hard for them to be around the air pollution that centers around the schools.
And there are 55 schools that have signed up for the day on Wednesday, October 23rd. It is Walk to School Day in Pima County. Any room for any more schools?
Well, and we're really excited. Yes, 55 schools is great. Each school is going to get a scooter to raffle off. We do have room for a few more, and it's while supplies last, so folks can call Donna at 324-2959. To get more information and to sign up. And this event, besides being sponsored by Pima County Clean Air Program, it's sponsored by the Pima County Bicycle and Pedestrian Program and the Safe Kids Pima County.
You know, you are available, you and your staff, right, to speak to community groups. If any folks are looking for a fine presentation, you are available, correct?
We are. We're putting a little plug in there.
Yeah.
We do presentations we go out to schools on a regular basis. But we thought, you know what, maybe there's businesses that may want to train their employees or talk to their employees about air quality issues or a civic organization or maybe even an HOA group. we'd be happy to come and talk, and we would tailor the presentation to the audience, to whatever folks are interested in, and be happy to do that if anybody is interested in a presentation.
All right. We'll give out your website, too. I think that's probably the best way to find you, deq.pima.gov. Is that correct?
That will get us there, yep. Yes, thanks.
Thank you, Beth Gorman with the Pima County Department of Environmental Quality. Hope you have a great day. Thank you, Beth.
Thank you, Bill. You too.
Thanks a lot. Beth Gorman with us on The Buckmaster Show as we conclude this noon hour of our midweek edition of The Buckmaster Show. Bottled water on our program supplied by Culligan. Thank you to the Culligan folks. Better water, pure and simple, Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. All of our in-studio guests are presented with a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. Everyone likes the arrangement, and they certainly enjoy it, all of the guests and all of the employees here at KVOI. Coming up this afternoon, it's John C. Scott, the Dean of Local Talk. John is here from 3 to 5 in the KVOI studios. And tomorrow morning, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. They will be here from 6 to 8. Then we'll be back with you at 12:04 for our Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.